Killing it from the ones and twos.
You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch. Better eat it, he ate it for lunch. My body, I get what I want, like. You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch. Better eat it, he ate it for lunch. My body, I get what I want, like. Say it, let's keep it a beam. Wanna be mad, I be on the scene. Too fly, can't fit in a jean. Use my stitch, but it's not what it seems. I got that ready, I'm keeping it clean. Going, that's holding a beam. Saying you love me, but what do you mean? Pretty ass f***ing me like that I'm... You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch. Better eat it, he ate it for lunch. My body, I get what I want, like. You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch. Better eat it, he ate it for lunch. My body, I get what I want, like. Say mad, let's keep it a beam. Know to be mad, I be on the scene. Too fly, can't fit in a jean. Use my stitch, but it's not what it seems. I got that ready, I'm keeping it clean. Doing that's holding a beam. Saying you love me, but what do you mean? Pretty ass f***ing me like that I'm... You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch. Better eat it, he ate it for lunch. My body, I get what I want, like. You thought I was feeling you? That's the munch.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Y'all, this is Kaya's Jambalaya, and I am always trying to bring it to y'all hot. So let me tell y'all what is going on. We're going to have to actually speed through some of this stuff. So, because last week we had a very, very special segment with MC Solo. And we needed to dedicate
Marie that. Dominique and Delicia.
Yes. Yes. And we needed to dedicate those segments to those people. Because if you listen to last week's show, the authenticity of it was just, it was beautiful. It was amazing. So we're behind a little on the news, but let me tell y'all about what's going on. So as we know that we unfortunately have lost Takeoff from the Migos, and there's been a lot of swirlings around his passing. They dropped a video, actually. Migos dropped a video. No, excuse me. Neff and Unk, who is the new... separated version of Migos. They have, because of though, for those of you who don't know, Migos are no longer a group. Offset has taken himself out of the group, and the two other members had made themselves their own group, Unk and Neff, and they've been having some trouble since they separated. Now, they released a video the day after Takeoff's death, but the video actually depicts how they say he died. So we are in an uproar right now in the music community because they say that there was rumors swirling around him passing from a dice game or them gambling. And in the video, Takeoff and Quavo are inside the car, and they were sleeping in the car, and they both wake up saying that they had the same dream. Now, if anybody knows anything about when you have the same dream as someone, there's something going on there. And there's something that you're supposed to be paying attention to. So the dream sequence is how the video starts. Now, it's supposed to be a dream, but when you enter the video, they have some kids playing in the front. And then when he goes into the next room, there's some guys gambling and they start like arguing over the gambling. And there's a lady that's standing in the corner that is very, very dark. In the next scene, they have Quavo laying in the bed with a Migos contract and a gun. And he looks at the Migos contract and puts it down and then he picks up the gun. And the lyrics that he says at those times come to the effect, like, I don't care about nothing but money. I'm all about that paper. And she told me to pop him and I popped him. I put the gun on the dresser. In that same scene, as they pan to the side, Takeoff is in the scene and there's a RIP and a Grim Reaper beside him in the video.
Yo, this is wild. This is wild, okay. Kaya.
I am tripping, and I need y'all, whoever's listening, to go and check this out because there's some things going on in the industry right now, and a lot of things are being revealed, and I think a lot of this has to do with them trying to dismantle the music industry right now because of all of the issues with Kanye West and Kyrie Irving behind their quote-unquote, which is not even real, anti-Semitic statements, and which we come to realize now, or what we're finding out now. And Pete, I want to say thank you for sending me the link, because I'm watching the documentary, and it's not that it's anything that I didn't know before, because we know that we are the true Israelites. We know that we are that. My last name mm-hmm. happens to be Schrouder. But when people say to me, you're Jew, well, my family is Jew. But they like, well, how? You go to the synagogue? What are you talking about? I got Jew blood. I don't got to go to the church. I'm not Jew. I don't wish to be. I am this. There's people out there that's practicing acting like us. And for saying something like that, Kyrie and Kanye are both being pretty much ousted and blackballed in the industry. So going back, they are dismantling this music industry. And you remember I told you this. For all the artists that's coming up and all of the artists that's there now, there's about to be a shift in the music industry, y'all, because they are exposing these people. There's a problem. We got a problem. But I'm not going to take too much time on the Migos. I want to tell y'all some of the other stuff that's going on. Y'all make sure y'all keep up with the stuff that I'm telling y'all about. Kyrie Irving is in a lot of trouble, like I said, about saying, quote unquote, anti-Semitic remarks. They got Kyrie Irving.
Yo, can I give you just a 2 seconds on that? Because I find it was weird, because when I heard what was happening, and for those who are interested, we do actually have access to the documentary. And I watched it, and I was like, how can he be going through so much trials and tribulations based off of just sharing this link? Because it's not, there's nothing racist in it. It's literally just facts. For those who might even seen Hidden Colors in the past, it kind of reminded me of that, because it was just like, yo, it's a lot of information. It's just like, yo, they're showing you facts. They're showing you different reference things. They're telling you where to go research this information. So I'm like, but why? But then I guess it also shows just the power of the media, right? They have enough to just flash lights in your face and be like, no, just look at this. Don't worry. Don't dive into the documentary, into the facts. Just listen to what we're telling you. And we're telling you what he's saying is anti-Semitic. And the majority of people are just saying, yeah, cool. Yeah, bun Kanye, bun Kyrie for saying all these things without actually taking the time to deep dive into the documentary. So I think it would be awesome to be able to have a group viewing of the documentary, even invite our brothers and sisters from the Jewish community, and let's have an open dialogue, because it's like, it shouldn't be this kind of energy. But anyways, thank you for bringing it up, because I thought it was an important topic as well.
It's something that definitely needs to be discussed, because as a people, they have found a systematic way in every way possible to oppress us. And so now to think that we may actually step back into our position of power and take back what is ours, they fear that we'll do the same thing to them that they did to us. And so, and we know this. However, our docileness, that thing inside of us that says it's okay, you know what? We've adopted that, but it's not okay anymore. And this is why we see Kyrie Irving trying to stand up for himself, but he is being bankrupted. Kanye is no longer a billionaire. Do y'all know that? Kanye is no longer a billionaire. They stripped him of all of his endorsements. The bank will no longer bank with him. We need to protect these brothers. This is serious right now, all for trying to educate the people. So that this means that there has to be, let me tell you something. I'm not even going to touch on this anymore, because I really want us to all get together and actually do this viewing. So we'll talk about bringing together the people and maybe having a discussion later. But last thing I want to say in regards to this topic is that I want y'all to understand why the media is acting this way against Kanye and Kyrie Irving. Thieves do not raid empty tombs. Let me say that again for y'all. Thieves do not raid empty tombs. It's something in it. And that's why they mad. They don't want nobody to see it, and they don't want y'all to know. Remember, I told y'all that. Now let's get on to something a little bit lighter. Let me tell y'all what's going on. Listen, Nick Cannon got two babies on the way.
I know. Can we apply that for a second? Because he is helping to make sure the planet stays populated. I appreciate Nick. He's just doing his thing. Like, yeah. I see that meme with all the people in the next, 20 years, we're all going to look like Nick Cannon. So that's...
Nick Cannon got two more babies on the way. I want to give a shout out to the ladies who's agreeing to this. They like, let's hold hands. Let's soul. It's beautiful. I can't lie. I'm all for that lifestyle. I can't lie. I grew up in that. For those of you who don't know, when I grew up, I used to say I had four moms because my father had four baby moms and he required all of us to be cordial with each other, or it was a problem for him. He was not happy and he did not play that mess. Like, he would get very angry. So I understand it and I actually love it. And I think people that are doing these things are doing their civil duty by adding to the world's Black population. This world, and we do know this, we need melanated people here in order for this joint not to implode. So thank you, Nick Cannon, for your contribution to the Black race, because homeboy is getting it in. Listen, when baby 32,
but Kai, you've touched on this on previous episodes where this monogamy is not even natural to ourselves as people. I'm happy to have my one wife right now, if that, you know, because that is what the case is. But in no way do I feel that this is a natural structure. I do feel that if you have the means and your and the queens that are around you are comfortable with it, I don't think it's a crazy thing, because he's a good father. That's why the women are like, cool, because none of the baby mothers are like, yo, Nick Cannon's a bum ass dude. Like, all of them are like, yo, he takes care of his children, he checks his women, like, he's handling it, yo. So more power to him. I ain't mad.
Well, I just want to give this, because I actually have a little inside tea about Nick Cannon, but because I know people who have actually been very, very close to him, actually, like, spend some real time with him. Nick Cannon loves poor women. He loves them. He picks them up, and if you're poor and you're pretty, he'll take care of you and take you and fix you up. And it doesn't even mean that he got to be with you or nothing like that. Nick Cannon is really that guy. He take girls out of bad situations and he makes their lives better. He really does. And I love him for that. Nick Cannon is like, he's that dude. So Tam, in the instance that you spend $1,000 on winter coats, I think we need to hit Nick Cannon.
That's what I'm saying. If you know someone who knows him, girl, hook it up. He like poor women. I'm here for you. I'm down with the lifestyle. Come here, King.
As soon as we get off, I'm gonna tell you exactly who to call and say, I need
him. Girl, I'm not even playing. I'm paging him today.
I'm dead ass. And you know what, Tam? He gonna love you.
He gonna get all of this, okay? Period. Wow.
Don't get me started. Just plug me when you get in.
Check you already know, girl. This baby on the way right here.
Right? I thought I was done, but I'm back in. I'll give you one more.
Jump in. Yo, Drake, privileged rappers. Why Drake is out there right now as a comic book character? They done made every meme in the book about Drake, and I am weak.
Kaya's jumping on my, you spoke about Nick. I had that for my social media gone wrong. You about to talk about Drake. That's on my social media. Kai, we live the same life. I need you to get out of
my life. I told you guys, we're one mind here, guys. We're one mind.
They said, you always say, do I got a camera in your house? That's crazy, though. So I won't go into it too much.
No. Do it.
What are you going to talk about this whole situation here? Hmm? Are you going to talk about this situation here?
No. Talk about.
You do that part. Let me tell you this. Drake got caught. Some old pictures got brought up of him doing blackface.
What? Stop it.
When Drake was Aubrey Graham, he wore blackface and his shirt had the, you know, the black Sambo duck that they used to have on the thing, or the black Sambo crow, and he had on a Jim Crow t-shirt.
Shut up. What? How come I didn't see this? Me and Drake are best friends. I thought I would have got this already. Damn it.
It's giving Doja Cat.
Uh-huh. Because Doja needs herself too, right?
She be doing weird shit.
Y'all know I'm going to come in with the double standard of everything. Because I think that's crazy for him to do that. You don't have to blackface if you're black, sir. But
that's the thing.
Is he allowed to because he's black? Because then that goes down to using the N-word because you're black, regardless of your shade down the whole spectrum. So this is what goes for Peter goes for Paul.
So this is something that's going on Twitter right now, and the aptly named Black Twitter. There's some things that are being said right now and some lines that are being drawn. And, you know, Drake's mother is Jewish. And they often say, what your mother is what you are. Because when you're raised and you have a Black father and a white mother, you're most likely going to gear more towards white people because your mother is white. So at that time when he was being Aubrey Graham, there's very much a chance that he hadn't quite embraced his Blackness. And it might have only become convenient for him once he got into the music industry to actually embrace that Blackness. And so it's telling a tale about what's happening with the mixed children in the world today. And Drake just set something off. And I've never seen Black Twitter mourn an outrage in their lives. But now they're saying, well, look who he chose to, after dating all these Black women on his way to success, who he ended up having a child with and procreating with and staying with. He out in the media fighting with this girl and all kinds of stuff. And she's a porn star. She didn't have to be nothing but white for him in order for him to accept her, for her to be and have the status that she has. And this is crazy. What's Black Twitter is going off right now. Now they're saying the lines are going to have to be drawn differently and the one drop rule is not going to matter anymore. There's going to have to be some choices made by biracial, including Black biracial people, on where they stand. Because when things like this come up, it almost makes us feel like you might have a mama who's not too fond of Black people. How did you end up doing that? Drake, you know what? How did you end up doing that? Wow. The media is in an uproar. Wow.
But I want to point out, actually, just because, you know, I'm going to come up with some fun facts there. But in the Jewish community, to be considered Jewish, your father is the one who's supposed to be Jewish. So technically, like, I mean, some people still follow that, but in writing, biblically speaking, to inherit the Jewish line, if you will, your father's the one who's supposed to be Jewish because you come from his loins. So that's probably why we haven't heard him proclaim it, or even the community proclaim it very, very high. That, you know, some people like to say Sean Paul's Portuguese. They're like, oh yeah, the biggest Jamaican singer is Portuguese, da da da. But in the Jewish community, they don't say it that loud, because—
No, like your mother in the Jewish community, your mother has to be a Jew for you to be Jewish.
No, your father does. Because you come from your father's loins.
You want me to show you this now?
Girl, this is
what Jews practice. Your mama got to be a Jew for you to be a Jew.
Your patrilineal descent. It has to come from your father. According to Jewish learning
doctrine. I've never heard that before.
This is interesting. Is this a takeaway? So we're gonna have to fact check on both sides and come back and bring in.
So let's get in. Michael Jordan's son, because I gotta tie this in. Michael Jordan's son is going out with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, Larsa Pippen.
Awkward.
Hasn't she gone out with everybody?
You don't go with the kids you used to babysit.
Not babysit.
Awkward.
And Drake rapped about it. Drake said
in the last project with 21 Savage.
Yes, he said.
Which is a crazy project, by the way. Sorry, go ahead.
It's nuts. He said to the effect, "It's crazy how you was babysitting me, and now we grown and we go together."
Awkward.
Awkward is right. And I just, for the record, Michael Jordan's son is fine. I just want to say that for the record. So I understand. And Larsa is out there looking like some young girl walking around with Marcus Jordan. I can't even believe what I'm watching and what I'm seeing right now. Scottie Pippen must want to smack fire out of Michael Jordan. I know he might see you. If you don't get your son, get your son. Y'all, Nicki Minaj is trending right now under the hashtag No Grammy for Granny.
What? Tell us more. What are you talking about?
Nicki Minaj had a fight with Lotto. There's been some issues, and Nicki Minaj is saying that Lotto stole her lyrics. I watched it. I read the lyrics. I listened to them. They spit them differently, but they were the same exact lyrics. And she took two different songs and used the lyrics from two different songs. And she's claiming that she did not take those lyrics, but she did. And Nicki wore her out on a phone call, but Lotto recorded it and actually put it on Twitter. Nicki Minaj is being attacked in a way right now that I have never seen before, and the barbs can't help her. It's a problem. No Grammy for Granny. Trends on Twitter after Nicki Minaj misses out on even a single nomination. She didn't get not one nomination. Nicki might be done for.
But you guys know Nicki's been a target. The industry has always been targeting Nicki, though. From even from the vaccine times, where Nicki was like, "I don't know what you guys are talking about." Like, yo, I'm not. So she's not a friend of the industry. The industry don't love her. So as soon as they have an opportunity, they're going to try to drag her.
They're saying that she's a big time bully, and she has to be stopped. So I got a couple quick things just before, because my segment is about to be over with, but I got to pull these things out of here because we done went back to come back forward. Lizzo is one of the most dope artists that I think I've ever seen in my entire life. There's a young lady who started a business and she needed a dress for, I think, her grand opening or something like that, or for an event she had. And she messaged Lizzo and asked Lizzo, could she have her dress that she wore on an award show? And Lizzo sent her the dress.
Oh, that's love. That's love, yo. That's love.
Lizzo is a real girl, and I really have to give her her props. Lizzo, you are a really kind person, and God bless you. Lizzo needs all her flowers, y'all, because you know what? This big girl, she ain't playing no games out here in this industry, and she's been just poked and prodded so much in this industry. And even though I don't like some of the stuff that she's done, I cannot overlook all of the good stuff that she's done. So shout out Lizzo. Lizzo, we love you, Liz. Don't feel no way about nothing, sis. I got your back from here on out. I'm fighting people in the street about you, Lizzo. They better not say nothing about your butt cheeks being out no more. That's it. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Escape received an award the other day. One of their members, Latasha, is speaking out right now. She is very, very upset because she was not given the memo that they were supposed to be performing at shows and dressed the same. And it's about to be something. It hasn't come full circle yet, but we're going to hear some stuff about. Do y'all remember the group Escape? Do y'all remember Escape?
Of course. I remember any of the songs. I see Tammy singing it, but I can't remember the damn songs, but I remember the group.
All right. Well, and y'all.
Off your feet, relax. Like, come on. We'll do a session after this, Pharaoh. It's okay.
Right. Well, something tells me that we are going to be re-singing those songs sometime soon, because it looks like these girls are getting back together. Even though they're having a little turbulence, I think they're going to work it out. And I think we're going to be hearing a little bit of something from Escape in the near future. So let's just keep tuned in. In other news, Raven Simone, and I'm going to end with this. Raven Simone reveals that she declined Disney's request to make Raven Baxter gay in Raven's home. So they are redoing That's So Raven, and the new show will be called Raven's Home. She says, and she quotes, they were like, "Do you want Raven to be gay?" And I said, "Why?" And they said, "Because you are." And I said, bad reason. That's a bad reason. So she will not be having Raven portray a gay character. She does not feel like her life needs to be made into the show in that way. So she says, Raven Baxter never exhibited any type of sexual identity situation in the priors. And I'm not being myself on this show. I'm being a character. Raven Baxter's not gay. So
wow, claps to her. Good right, job. Because, you
know, a lot of people don't know that they could say no. A lot of people don't.
And there's a difference. This
no.
That's big. Yes, big.
That's right. So I just want to end my show with just a little something for the holiday season, just because this is what it is. It's getting cold outside. Make sure y'all got y'all winter ties on here, because I don't want nobody sliding into this car right here. I don't know if my insurance is caught up. Don't hit my car. It's slippery outside in Montreal. Y'all get y'all winter ties. I ain't joking. I don't have mine yet. I'm going to get mine today, but don't y'all go and get y'all's here. Don't slide into me. I love y'all and thank you. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. And that is my show.
What it do, y'all? It is your homegirl, Tammy. You already know I'm not a pastor, but y'all gonna get the word today.
What it do, Empower Our listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy Tuesdays.
It's my first time here by Zoom with y'all. I'm gonna try not to look at y'all so much, because I'm a bet
I'm gonna get unconcentrated, okay? ADHD over here, child. Let me not even look at y'all, yep. Okay? I'm just going.
But I just gotta say, I'm glad to be a part of the congregation, because when we listen to you, I always want to chime in and give an amen and hallelujah. But now you guys are gonna hear it in the background. But I'll try not to distract you too much. See, go ahead.
I'm not. I swear, I gotta like not even look at y'all. Okay, so first off, I hope everyone listening to us, I'm sending y'all love and light. Like Kaya said, get your winter tires on. It is no joke out here where I'm at. I know that it's very slippery, lots of snow, lots of ice. So please don't play with that. You know what I mean? Go and get your winter tires. Okay, so this week, listen, there's a lot to talk about. So little time. I'm going to try and crunch it in. The first thing that I want to tackle is Noémie Bouchard, right? She's an ex-lawyer from right here in Quebec, Abitibi-Témiscamingue. She was disbarred in August by the Quebec Bar because she's facing over a dozen charges, but it's the charges that are problematic. So she is charged with possession of juvenile pornography, distribution, yes, y'all, juvenile pornography, and production, child, of juvenile pornography. Sorry. Yeah, and she was a lawyer, you know what I mean? And the crazy thing, and I always say this, every time someone gets caught doing something to kids, none happens to them. They get like what, you know, 2 years minus a day. Maybe they might get federal, you know, over 2 years, but rarely. But let us get caught. Little bit of something. We going away for like 10, 15 minimum. So it's very problematic. So for me, it's problematic. In her situation, it's even crazier. And it gets messier because not only is she facing those charges, but within the charges, she also encouraged another woman to commit murder, but they're not, yeah, I know, but they're not holding her accountable. They're not holding her as an accessory. I don't know why, but it's just crazy how, because she had the title, right, they're not including her in those charges, right? They're like, no, it's just going to be the juvenile pornography. So anyways, all that to say, that's messed up, right? Now, speaking about yeah, I know. It's crazy, child. That's why I'm just like, man. And then they say color don't matter here, but we're going to get to that after, okay? Now, I was actually kind of happy about the next story. There was the G20 conference in Indonesia, right? There was high tensions between our Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, and Chinese President, I'm definitely messing up his name, but Xi Jinping. President Xi Jinping is not happy that our prime minister has loose lips. He out here speaking to the media and he G-checked them. I mean, he came to him and was like, we don't do that. We don't talk to the media. And you seen how Justin Trudeau went like, you know what I mean? Like he be piping up on us, especially the unvaccinated people taking away our rights and stuff. But when you in the presence of someone who really has those, you know, that type of balls, if we could say it like that, and who has that type of power, you gonna pipe the hell down. So it was actually nice to see his demeanor being very, very small, right? Because I was just like, you see, let us rise up, Canadians. Y'all seen how Justin Trudeau tucked it between his legs, kind of put his head down and just went to the back of the stage, you know? So let the people rise up. Let the people challenge him, because clearly he's showing signs of weakness. You know what I mean? So anyways, I was very happy about that, okay? I was like, child, let this man
Tamley is subtly sparking a revolution. I want you guys to know I'm here for it. Okay, good. All right.
Exactly, because I'm like, man, something's got to give, you know? Already, anyways, child, let's not even get into all this stuff that's going on here, because child, I can't anymore, okay? Now, I'm going to tap into what, and it's funny, eh, how we are all connected. Did you see how Kaya was talking about the Kyrie Irving situation and the movies Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America, right? And he's being canceled because of this. It's easy to think that, you know what, that type of stuff only happens in the States. Like, no, it don't happen here, right? Before I get into how it's happening here, I just want to read to you guys the conditions, just to put you guys in the mind state of how badly this man is getting canceled for merely saying that he supports a movie that is actually factual. Like Kaya said, Like, let's not act like he's out here inventing things or just pulling things out of his ass. No, no. What he's talking about, what is in this movie, is factual. If people do their, listen, anyways, let's not even get into all of that, but it's factual. So his conditions are, he needs to apologize and condemn the film he promoted. I'm like, what? Anyways, he needs to make a $500,000 donation to anti-hate causes. He has to complete sensitivity training. He has to complete anti-Semitic training. He has to meet with the ADL and Jewish leaders. He also has to meet with the team owner to demonstrate and prove his understanding of the situation, right? To me, that's just wild. It's wild, but at the same time, it just goes to show you the amount of power that the Jewish community have. It is just, it's mind-boggling. And as crazy as it is, I think it's beautiful, because that's the power we should have, okay? That's the power that we as melanated people should have. And we don't have it because we're not united like they united, okay? Now, happening here where the Jewish community is canceling people. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it because I want us to have that type of power. I want us to be out here canceling people. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm sick and tired of the bullshit going on up in here, and I want us to cancel the people that have a problem with us, right? So I'm not going to bag on another community for standing their ground. Quite the contrary, right? Right here, the Olympia. Olympia has canceled French rapper Freeze Corleone's show due to anti-Semitic lyrics, right? So his show has just been canceled. It was a huge show. The French hip hop community here was very excited for him to come. He's a very big artist. And the Jewish community was like, nope. We canceling him. We canceling this show. They put in pressure. And to be honest, I love to see it. I love to see it. Although I'm sad he got canceled. You know what I mean? But I want us to have that type of power. Imagine if someone out here slanging the N-word, you know, doing whatever they be doing to us. And imagine if we rise up and unite and we are able to say, hey, this person, you canceled because you tried a member of our community, right? So I think that we have a lot to learn from the Jewish community. And I think we need to learn it fast. And I'm going to tell y'all why. Because of this. It's called Akur, A-Q-U-R. Pharaoh, I know you're going to know what I'm talking about because you sent it to me. Association des Québécois unis contre le racialisme. Let me tell y'all what that means, okay? They are saying that racialism, okay, is a denial of our nation, okay? So they said instead of us building on what should bring us together and unite us, right? It kind of encourages non-white Quebecers, so ethnic people, not to identify with Quebec, even though they've moved here and adopted the culture. So what they're trying to say is that white privilege, we shouldn't talk about that because that's not real, right? Systemic racism, let's not talk about that. That's not real. It's just, you know, it's in our imagination, right? And they say that they refuse us to define ourselves by the color of our skin.
That's the weird part. Yeah, because that's why it stood out. I was like, yo, is this a black? Hold on. Tammy, can you make sense of this for me?
It's honestly disgusting. It's disgusting because what they want is to bring together Quebecers of all origins who share the same language, the same values, and a universal vision, which basically means they don't want us to be out here talking about black empowerment, melanated excellence. They don't want us to be out here talking about none of this stuff. And you already know that our prime minister right here, François Legault, oh, he gonna clap for this association. Oh, he gonna come through with some funding for this association, which is why it's so important for us. And I've been saying it and I'm gonna keep saying it, because you know what? If we do not unite, listen, it's going to be a problem real quick, because you see, some people, listen, I say this also, it's not all skin folk that kin folk, okay? Not all skin folk, child, okay, are kin folk. And that's a problem, because you see, the people that are part of this association that are melanated individuals, to me, they selling out. And you know what? They're not my brothers and they're not my sisters. I'm sorry. I could care less about what happened to them in the future, because at the end of the day, you selling out a whole community that's out here suffering. They gonna tell us that our brothers that are out here in the penitentiary, that they are not, you know, have longer sentences compared to a white person who has the exact same crimes. They gonna say that, you know what, we are not getting admitted, whether university, CJEP, special programs, due to our name. When they meet us, they're like, oh, he black. Never mind, we gonna chuck this out into the garbage. You know what I mean? This is the type of shit that really does happen. And what they're saying is that it's not happening. And they're saying that it is in our imagination and they want to counter it. So that is the problem, y'all. We need to continue to rise up and unite. And I'm going to end my segment by saying this, okay? This also has to do with Dominique Anglade. Dominique Anglade, which was a melanated sister child, she was the leader of the Liberal Quebec Party. She sold out. And you know what? It's a universal law. It's biblical. I mean, whatever, whoever believes in. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're going to reap what you sow. Okay. And she turned her back on the melanated community, y'all. Okay. When she got into position, what she should have done is made sure that our community was good. And she didn't care. She turned her back and she kept doing what she was doing. And, you know, excuse me being explicit, but, you know, she was out here sucking a white man's dick. And that's just what it is. And at the end of the day, you reap what you sow. All the same white people who she sold us out for turned their back on her. She had no choice but to step down. She is no longer the leader. Now imagine that. We had a sister all up in position, child. She was in position and she failed her mission. Why? Because you know what? What she thought the white man was going to give her didn't, because they turned on her, right? So at the end of the day, all of this is all tied in. And now with this association piping up, she's stepping down. I mean, child, we need real melanated leaders to stand up. We need also to continue raising our voices. We need to continue standing our ground, y'all. And if we don't, and you know what? I'm going to say this. Okay, then I'm going to end my segment. I'm going to end it by saying this, y'all. I know that sometimes, you know, it's not always easy to speak up. It's not always easy to take position. But just remember, there's nothing wrong with taking position. Weak people are going to make you feel like you too much, right? Weak people going to make you feel like you aggressive. But that ain't got nothing to do with you. If you stand for the truth, if you stand for what is right, child, stand in your truth. Stand for what's right. And please continue to pipe up, because if not, we're going to really be in a lot of problems very, very soon. If we haven't, if y'all have not taken notice of what happened to people like me that are unvaccinated, child, y'all going to feel it one way or another. And I always say this as well. We are all connected. So same way people seen that my rights were taken away, I was segregated, I couldn't go to the mall, I couldn't travel, I couldn't do this, that, and the next. Why is the government going to respect, you know, your melanated ass or your, you know, Asian ass or your fucking, you know what I mean? No, they not. They going to come for all of our rights. So child, just stand up. Let's unite. Okay. And yeah, that's that. So I'm going to end my segment here. I love y'all. Okay. Stay black.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. the Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Liar in Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
If you know, you know, it's that time.
Black facts.
I'm not going to lie. When we do this on Zoom, our black facts aren't, they're not black faxing. They're not lying. They're not aligned.
Laggy.
Yeah. We'll get a button. So I came across a really interesting black fact while I was perusing the internet. Have you guys ever heard of Sarah Rector? No? Neither. No, you have not? Because I hadn't either. But apparently Sarah Hector is one of the youngest black multimillionaire who became one at 12 years old. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Sarah Rector's parents were grandchildren of slaves owned by Creek Indians before the Civil War. So another thing that you may not know, yes, Creek Indians or natives did have slaves, but a lot of the times they were the passing Indians, if you will. And you either have one or two choices. You either passed as white and had slaves, or you were an Indian slave yourself. So you had some passing Indians who actually had black slaves. So before the Civil War. And because of that, because they were property of these Creek Indians, they became part of the Muscogee Creek Nation after the Treaty of 1866. So they and their descendant were listed as freedmen on the Dawes Rolls, by which they were entitled to land allotment under the Treaty Law of 1866. Which made the United States, that the United States made with the five civilized tribes in the U.S. So consequently, nearly 600 Black children, or Muskegee Freedmen Miners, as they were called, were granted land allotments. Now, what they were doing, too, with these allotments is that they thought they were unfertile land. So they thought they were just giving them whatever land. So they gave Sarah's family, actually, Sarah herself was allotted a little under 160 acres of land. And this was a mandatory step in the process of an integration of the Indian Territory with the Oklahoma Territory. So now that's in the state of Oklahoma. So her parents, to be able to help cover the expense of dealing with this land, they leased the land to, they leased Sarah's parcel of the land to a Standard Oil Company. Again, they thought they gave them infertile land and that they wouldn't get anything from it. So in 1913, when they started drilling, they struck oil. They struck oil and were able to produce 2,500 barrels of oil a day.
Woo! Woo!
A day.
That's money.
Yep. Making her the youngest, at 12, making her the youngest Black multimillionaire ever. Well, recorded, I should say. Recorded. Wow. And not only that, they didn't like that so much that the Oklahomans petitioned to make her a white person on paper, historically speaking, or to try to switch her guardianship to a white person because they did not believe her guardianship being her parents as black people would be able to manage that wealth. Well, you know, they kept that. They kept her parents as it needed to be, and that didn't quite work, and her story finally came out. But their whole petition to try to make her white, and historically speaking, is probably why you never actually heard of Sarah Rector before.
Wow. Thank you, Jenna. That is a Black fact. Dope. Yeah. I can't wait. And you guys definitely check out the Empower Hour page. We're going to make it a point to everything we're talking right now, put it on there so you guys could just come to one spot and see all the sauce that we're dropping. So good. All thank you, Jenna.
And I didn't say it last show, but the Friday before last, it was Polish Independence Day. And Gina, why are you talking about Polish Independence Day during Black Facts? Yes, woo-woo. But this is still part of my Black Facts because it's a little added Black Facts. So I want to salute the Polish people. Why? Because as you guys know, my mother's Haitian, so I am of Haitian descent. And in the 1800s, when Napoleon recruited Polish soldiers who wanted to align with the French as they newly gained their separation, Napoleon wanted them to subdue the rebels in Haiti. And that was a French colony at the time, with slaves who started a rebellion. So when Napoleon and the troops got there, the Polish soldiers arrived with the French troops and they saw what was happening. And they're just like, nah, we're joining the Haitians in this battle because we just evaded a conquest. Like, we were them 2 minutes ago, which is why we're aligning with you guys so that we're not taken back by the Russians. But y'all out here trying to come and take up on and regain Haiti for the French. And they're just like, no. So they switched up. And that's why there's a long history of Polish descendants in Haiti still today. And they were an integral part as well as helping Haiti gain independence. So I wanted to give an extra cheer there to Polish people and the Polish independence. And, you know, because it's funny. Yeah, because I was having conversations with my best friend, and she's just like, I don't know why we have all these Haitian people with these Russian names. And then we have like one of the famous salads that we eat in Haiti is salad russe and stuff like that. And so we thought it was like there must have been a history with the Russians, but it was actually the Polish. So it was the Poles who.
Yo, shout out to them. I made the most money in my life working with my Polish homeboy Slav. Dope. Yeah. Good time. Yeah. So mad love to the Polish people, man. Polish credit union. Yep. Had it by the paid. I was having a good time. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, so those are the Black facts for today. I want to bring you guys some money talks today. You know, every time I come around and I see it, I know that these are sometimes, I'm not going to call it hard times. I'm just going to call it, you know, the hill that we're going to have to mount here. But I did see that the CRA is hiring auditors. So jobs are available. You don't actually need experience to get hired. And the salaries are ranging between $64,000 to $84,590, if you will. But you do need a post-secondary degree with a specialization in accounting or an eligibility to get a designation from a recognized professional accounting association. So it doesn't mean that you can have a degree or post-secondary school. So it doesn't mean that you have to have a bachelor's or whatnot, but you have had to have studied accounting on some level. But for a junior position or a starting or entry level position, 64 to 84 is not something to laugh at or whatnot. That's a really good paying job. So they're looking for auditors out there. Don't come audit me though, because I told you about it. So.
If you are melanated and you get this job, I expect that when you find our names.
Right. I'm going to need you to hold a blind eye.
It goes without saying. It should just, you know.
Just the eyes?
One of those. Just you know. Just yes. With that look.
Well, when we're face to face and I look at you and I kind of tilt my head a little bit, I'm going to need you to understand what needs to be understood. All right. It's time for social media gone wrong. And there was quite some stuff going on. And I'm gonna get to you guys as soon as I just kind of share a few of these right here. But did y'all know that Tyson Beckford used to be in a Jamaican cartel called the Shower Posse?
Child, that's how... Don't get me started.
Yes. So I came across that.
That's how he ended up in the book. Friend Stefan's book.
Oh, did he? Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember her. Well, because she didn't say names. She said a couple of names, but she didn't say all kinds of names in there.
Yeah, she did.
But
she said all names. I read all. She said everybody's name, baby.
Did she? Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't even have the book anymore. I don't know what happened to it. But yeah, I think he said when he was like 17. So he was born in Jamaica. When he came, like, they basically held a tie to him and he was in it. He was about that life. And he said that he pretty much stopped in his early 20s when they went to go rob these drug dealers for their guns and stuff. And when he got in there, it was a dude and a girl who was getting high and there was a baby in the other room. And he just lost it. And he told her, he's like, yo, go get the baby. And if I catch you in here smoking again, like, it's going to be a wrap, you know? And then he said he left that situation. He's just like, you know what? I got to get out. This ain't for me anymore. Then he became a model. So don't test Tyson. Y'all may think these models out here are sweet, but...
They are. Just because you're a gangster doesn't mean you're not sweet. Because a lot of gangster acts end up with, what do you call it? When you're being sodomized. Yeah, that'd be a punishment and all of that stuff that they don't believe that. That's one of the main things that they do. That's why they be so a little gay.
I wasn't associating being sweet with being sodomized. I'm just like, you could still be gay and be a gangster. I'm just saying.
Right. Those ones. Those ones are
That's
Jewish.
My brother. My you brother gay, I mean? And he a G.
Look at Omar.
Some passion.
That part. Yes. Yeah, so.
You know the character. You know the character Omar from The Wire? They say his character was made off of Young Thug. And Young Thug, they say, and he's super gangster. And you better not say nothing because he'll do some stuff to you. And you don't want him to do that stuff to you.
You don't want it, right?
Or maybe some of them do, but child, that's their thing.
They get you.
That's their business. That's their business. Well, Kaya, you talked about Drake's blackface, but Twitter came for Drake. I think they brought the light skin jokes to higher levels on this one, to be honest, but there was a thread on Drake and the thread starts off like this. Drake, the type of guy to cover his homie's eyes and say, guess who? And all these have pictures, guys. Drake, the type of guy who floats in the air when he smells pie. And there's a picture of the cartoons, you know, when the cartoons used to smell, yeah, levitating and smelling pie. Said Drake, the type of guy to say, guys, we have company in a horror movie. Drake, the type of guy who say, now a silly one when taking group pictures. Drake, the type of guy who have smoke come out of his ears when he's mad. Drake, the type of guy who go up to the school shooter and say, this isn't you. Drake, the type of guy to pause in the air before falling down like Coyote. I can't with these people. I can't. They said Drake's the type of guy to see something. They said Drake's the type of guy to see something bad in the news and say, you're going to want to see this. Drake's the type of guy to be laughing with friends and softly say, oh, I needed this. And y'all need to unmute because you laughing and it just sounds like I got dead air here. I don't appreciate that, but.
I'm here dying.
Oh, God. Wait. Oh, God.
I needed that. I know exactly.
I needed that. And the last thing that I saw that had me go, because I didn't mention it also in my week. I finally went to go see Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And I shared it earlier on today with you guys because Joe Budden, he's a jerk, but he had me laugh a little bit. And he's just like, oh, did y'all go see Latin Panther? Because he's like, that wasn't about Black Panther. That was about the Latin Panthers.
Oh, like, my gosh, Joe.
Stop yeah, I can't it. With him. But what I saw that made me kind of chuckle a little bit was somebody posted, Ninja's done seen Black Panther 2 times in 1 week, but ain't seen their kids in a year. What kind of father are you?
Oh, nope. Gosh.
Nope. Stop. That's it.
Stop. Mic drop on everybody. Gosh.
Yeah. So that's what I've seen on social media. Have you guys come across anything crazy on your end?
I've been binge watching Atlanta. It's with Danny Glover. I have not been on social media really. I've been just watching Atlanta and loving it. It's just hilarious. I'm telling if everybody, if you can go to Disney and watch Atlanta, season 2, episode 9 will have you dying. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm
Are they done?
That's all I got.
Because I've been waiting for
I went back to the beginning to watch it all over again.
Okay, because I was waiting for the season to be done to go just binge watch it because I don't like having to wait for the next week. So
I love it so much. Sorry, guys. That's all I have this week. I've been watching that and just, oh, God, it's so funny.
Hey, what you seen?
So my social media going wild. I was watching a video, and in the video is a bunch of Black folks on vacation on a resort, and they all in the pool dancing. And they got a white lady and a white man, and they in the pool. But one Black girl goes over, and they kind of start to surround the white guy because he starts dancing with them like, yeah. So the Black girl gets on him and starts dancing on him and put her butt on him. So his girlfriend comes over and grabs his arm like, you get over here. So he's like, what's wrong with you? Like, come on, have a good time. She's like, no. She's very stern. So one of the Black girls goes over and starts dancing with her. And she's like acting like, no. But then a big Black guy comes over and grabs her. And she's like, ooh. She puts her arms around him, her legs around his waist, and he kind of carries her away. And she looks back at her husband and she goes, woohoo. And now they're like, for sure, they're fighting when the day's over. When they get home, they're fighting. For sure.
That relationship is over.
But it was so fun how it happened. And I said, you know what? This is America. This is Canada. This is us. Because you know what? You know you want to be part of this. You cut it out. You know you want down. You know you want in. Don't front. So that's my social media going wild. That was too funny to me. Y'all stop acting like y'all don't want to be down.
Tammy, have you come across anything on social media?
Nothing funny, but I will say this though. There was a book that came out, right? It's called De la mort à la vie. It's by an author, Enzi Antoine, where she explains her 10 years of abuse in a church here in Montreal. And the pastor who they're talking about, funny enough, this man is still out here preaching. And he's out here and Gucci'd out and all of that, still preaching. You know what I mean? So to me, it's just kind of making me laugh because it's like there is no accountability in Christian community. And all the other pastors that are seeing this happening, I just kind of turn into blind eye. Ain't nobody want to say nothing, right? But y'all know how I do. I'm out here posting, talking, telling people, like, speak up. You know what I mean? Because he's accused of rape in the book where he slept with her forcefully. He raped her, sexually abused her. So it's a big thing, you know? So it's not funny, but it's just the audacity and the, you know, the hypocrisy of it all. You know what I mean? That I'm just like, everybody just gonna sweep it under the rug. No one's gonna talk about the pink elephant that's going on here in Montreal in the Christian community, right? It's just crazy to me. To go to church before. So yeah, you know, it was completely wild and crazy. And you know, I'm like out here tagging all the other pastors in the French Haitian community. Like, why are y'all silent? Like, you know, y'all are weak. Where's your courage? You know, you claim to be a man of God, but y'all ain't doing nothing. But y'all know how I do. I like to press the
That's right, like Tim.
Yo, but the thing, just on that point, because I find we be mixing it up because they're religious, but I can't say they're of God, man, because of God is a whole different energy. But it's just like, yo, you know, like So you know, like I find
religion is a business.
And then technically, then they're doing their part because in that business, there's a certain loyalty amongst each other. They know what they're doing. They, you know, so they watch each other's back. Like it's a business, guys.
Business. It's and that's why, like, people have to, I always say it, stay awake and pay attention. You know what I mean? Stay awake and pay attention. Right. You know, I've been out of this stuff for like 10 years and child, I'm living my best life. You know what I mean? Out mm-hmm. here just, you know, with my spirituality aligning my chakras, you know what I mean?
From the crown to the root, baby. But you know, and I say that And I say that, I say religion's a business, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, because you have some good businesses and you have businesses that have bad intention. So, but religion is a business. The same way how you like to go watch a baseball game on a weekly basis or whatever it is the same way you go to church on a weekly basis. It is there for that. So if it's bringing you what you need, the upliftment that you need, keep doing you, boo. But if it's not, don't think that this man of quote unquote God is going to have some higher power over you, because we are all gods. So I'm going to leave you guys with a question of the day.
Actually. Damn, I was just clapping on mute. You see, it's not the same. I was just clapping on mute. You guys missed. I was like, oh, wait, you can't hear that. Yo, anyways, hand claps to that, good. Gina. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
As the question of the day for everybody, you can get paid $1 million a year no matter what you do, but you have to work 40 hours a week doing that very thing. What would you do?
That's helping people.
But it has to be specific.
What do you mean? I was specific.
No.
I'm a helper people. I can't, okay, well, that's how, can't
how,
be my job.
How 40 hours a week, people?
Call me for help. What do you mean?
How are you helping people?
Easy. I run the OFC. You call me, you need help, I refer you to people. Bam, 40 hours a week. I'm doing that, no problem. Next,
all right.
Check. Go ahead, guys. The floor is yours. I've crushed it for myself. Go ahead.
Kaya, what are you doing?
I want to be a rapper. That's a job.
Yeah.
I want to rap. Yeah. I want to rap. I want to make music. I want to model. I want to model. That's what I want to do. I want to get dressed up, fly every day, and smile. That's what I want to do. Yeah.
So it sounds like you want to be an entertainer for $1 million a year, 40 hours a week.
Yeah, yeah. That easy, dog.
Tell me what you doing.
For that price, I will do anything, okay? Child, like, I feel like, I am doing the most right now. I mean, I got 4 kids. I'm a single mom. I got a house full of animals, taking care of my mother who has Alzheimer's. I mean, plus I work. And I'm just like, man, I'm not making that much and I'm doing more than 40 hours. So child, I will do it all, okay?
Amen.
I will do it all, period.
Amen.
So I thought about it because I go through my ups and downs and spurts of loving cooking and not loving cooking. Cause I mean, I come from a really big family and there was once upon a time where I was a cooking factory for people who would just end up, I say people, they're my family, but they come in and they would eat the food faster than it took me to cook it. But realistically speaking, it is something that I do enjoy doing. I enjoy doing it even more so when people are enjoying it themselves while they eat it. And I do think that you can infuse a lot of love and positive energy in the food that you make. And I'll actually, like, if I'm not feeling good, like, I'll stop cooking because I'm just like, oh man, like, I'm going to end up putting this energy in everyone too. And like, I've thrown away food where I was just like, this is about to poison people.
With some, yo, big up to you, Gina, for realizing that, because I don't think people understand that. They feel like they could cook with a bad vibe and it's going to be blessed. It's not blessed, guys. It's just not blessed. No. It's energy. And
I mean,
it's,
you like, could try to put some love and light on that food, but at its core, it's been stewing in your anger for however long, and you don't want to send that, because I've done it where I've cooked it, eating myself, I was like, this is making me feel worse. Garbage. Everything's in the garbage. But yeah. I think for 40 hours, if I could cook to feed people, make their day better, and make it $1 million, because that's the thing, I'm not gonna hold you, I'd be a chef, but they don't pay chefs. They don't pay chefs, like, they don't pay teachers. And so, like, high key, I mean, both very important professions, but the way my bank account is set up, I can't do that. But
for if I could give you a little suggestion, though, because I seen it, I took in my Uber the other day, I had a young lady who, she's a chef, but she is self-taught doing private chefing at people's houses, just coming to their house and cooking for them, cooking for their family. So 3 houses a day, whatever. They have a dinner party. She makes food for the dinner party, that type of thing. And she makes really, really good money. G, I don't know. Maybe we might need to reassess.
No, my thing is, because in this hypothesis is, I would just be making $1 million. I would want to cook and just give it to people. Like, just for those who need to be fed. You know, that's, I'm getting $1 million from the Most High. So, okay. Well, guys, that's our time. For this week, and I hope you enjoyed that, like you enjoy every week. I'm just saying, because we do the thing. So as always, we'd love to thank our special guest. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, and Solo Drum, as well as the Caribbean Curry House. Shout out to our amazing team. And guys, do you have any shout outs? Want to send out your handles?
So I'd like to shout out Kitaro Blooming Oils, merch by Carly Rock. Belle Beau for my skincare, which I'm going to start back again once this whole burn on my face gets clear from this cold. I want to shout out 514 Soul Minerals for the sea moss and me. I love y'all, and hit me at Strong Firm Bottom, all one word.
Amazing. Tammy, you got any shout outs?
I got no shout outs except for us because, you know, it takes me a while to shout out people. You know what I'm saying? Because like Cardi said, you going to be down with me tomorrow and then you going to be talking shit about me the next day. So I don't be shouting out people unless I get paid. Okay, but I'm shouting us here because we are here doing amazing work. So shout out to all of y'all. For those of y'all that want to hit me up on Instagram, it's at Tammy Tuesdays. Just keep in mind, I'm a little bit raw and authentic, but listen, it's always with love and light. All right. Peace.
Beautiful. And so, yes, on this end, definitely give a shout out to everybody. As you guys know, I love it. It's a big up to Afrobeat MTL. I love every week. I'm thanking them wholeheartedly for everything they've been doing. I want to remind everybody at the end of this month, we're giving away $2,400 to be spent in the community. So I want to remind you guys to check out the OFC. Contact us, become a member. We have the OFC Lotto Co-Pack where we normally give away $500 every week. But this week we are... But this month, at the end of the month, we're giving away $2,400. So I definitely want, and it's only costing you $2 to get involved in the lotto. It's $2 a month. We have you pay.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.